Well, hello there. There we go. The muting between, since we actually went live, the muting between the starting soon and the go live carried over. My bad. Yay, new mistake. This is episode 218 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. And greetings, Mordecai.
Hello.
So, what have you been up to gaming wise first off this last week?
Mostly Metopia.
Mostly Metopia. Interesting. Huh. Okay, cool.
Honestly, I've been trying to do Legion time running, but for some reason, I just haven't been able to.
It's less Re-Legion is a lot less satisfying for some reason than Re-Mists. And I can't put my finger on why, other than there aren't as many crazy abilities. Like in Re-Mists, you got the weird missiles that were going off, and people who were running like super fast, clearly had too much caffeine kind of situation. And this time around, it doesn't feel as broken. And the fun of Remists was, let's break the game. Let's feel like cheaters and hackers and clicky clicky. So, last week, I noticed a clicking sound. That's his fault. The clip on the microphone going click, click, click. So I'm sorry about that, boy.
Oops.
Yeah. But anyway, gaming wise for me, we finished Trapped Tears, D&D. It was very satisfying. A lot more effort than normal, just because, holy crap, I'm playing D&D basically every night. So thank you guys too for your patience and support as I did. It was a fun event. Amazing event. Playing a horror-based D&D game was really interesting and fun. And Saito did an incredible job. I'm just also looking forward to this next week where we don't have that on the horizon, so we can dive in and do other stuff.
Fair.
Also played some Civ. There's a new f If you own Civ 7, go forth and grab in your store of choice a free DLC update pack for Civ 7. This adds a harbor to Antiquity. This adds the privateer to Age of Exploration, and I have forgotten at this point if it adds anything to the modern age or not, but just those two minor tweaks so far in the new game that I'm playing, so satisfying. The harbor, being on the coast already felt rewarding because your cities grow faster thanks to fish, food. But the harbor makes every single one of those warehouse fishing spots get a bonus production as well. Similarly, that's why you get the fishing quay, because then you're boosting the food output. So the fishing quay and the harbor working together really rewards you for having a coastal city. And Siri decided to be drunk talking in the background again. Siri's just dumb. But we have a couple of really old iPad minis that sit in charge over in the corner. Nobody really uses them much, but oh well. They're great for when we're hosting You Don't Know Jack or Jackbox Games, and then people can use the browser on them. That's like the primary is extra controllers for that. Anyway. So gaming wise, we tried to play some Re-Legion today, and you were having connection issues. Maybe we'll try after dinner or something if other gaming doesn't pop up.
Yeah.
But other than that, well, I guess we did some Smash Brothers yesterday with your brother when he came over, when Sword Agent, Fox, and Baby Bear came over for dinner, right?
Yeah.
So, that was fun. That screwing around in the stock mode, very satisfying. But otherwise, I think it's just the news this week. And this week, the government shutdown continues. We are now, congratulations, President Trump, you hold the longest running government shutdown in history and the second longest running shutdown in government history. You have broken your own record. Oh, wait. That's not a good thing, buddy. That's just not.
Yeah. Didn't it?
The House and Senate can't pass a funding bill to have a budget. And so the government's just not doing what it's supposed to. I mean, life continues, as you've noticed, but life is also a lot harder for others. For example, SNAP benefits are still not working as intended. There were various lawsuits that said, okay, you need to fund SNAP. It's an entitlement. Laws have been set aside saying it must happen. The Trump administration is saying, but do we have to? And even have gone so far as telling some states who paid out said SNAP benefits per a court order that they now have to claw back that money even though they have already sent it out. That's really slimy because some of these people have already spent their money.
Yeah.
So it would be akin to receiving a paycheck and then the business that you're working for says, oh, wait, I need that money back. I shouldn't have given you a paycheck yet. And then when the people are like, I already paid, you know, used it to feed my family. Sorry. Some of these states are going to turn around and start charging these individuals now their benefits and making them pay them back. Or because there is a process of if the government accidentally overpays a SNAP benefit, the state is allowed to go, oh, we overpaid. We made a mistake per the agreement of this program. Please pay the overpayment back. It's weird. It's harmful. It's problematic because the money was already spent. They trusted that the government would not make a mistake in this situation.
Yeah.
So that's the clause that the Trump administration is expecting these states to do. Except, let's take just one moment to pause and think on that. The Trump administration would rather people starve during the government shutdown than actually help them. While they are giving out tax cuts to the wealthy, hosting lavish parties in Mar-a-Lago, they're like, oh, those that actually need help, those that actually need Food? Nah, you don't get anything. And this includes, like, those that are probably applying for emergency benefits because they're federal workers that are currently not getting any income because it's now gone over a month of shutdown and they're not getting paychecks.
Yeah.
We have TSA flight controllers literally quitting their jobs going, I'm sorry, I can't work for free. I know I'll get back pay, but still, my family kind of needs food now. So expect delays on travel, folks. Don't travel for Thanksgiving. Don't travel for Christmas. It's just not worth it right now to put yourself at stress. And aside from that, you're putting extra pressure on a system that is already basically broken right now. So if you can get away with not shopping and not traveling during the Thanksgiving 2-week period, that is going to send a nice big corporate overlord message of, hey, knock it off. Hey, actually pressure the government, the oligarchs. Hey, go pressure the government to knock it off. Because the oligarchs don't care about us. They don't care about the poor. They care about their bottom line.
Yeah.
That's why Trump's all, you need to pay back the money you already sent. No. He's literally stealing food from people's mouths and tables and plates at this point.
Yeah.
Not only those that are on SNAP benefits, but those that are working right now with the faith and trust that they will be paid back when you can't trust anything Trump it does. He is well known in his business era to have gotten ahead by refusing to pay contractors. And then they have to sue him. Or he leans on the fact that he can make them waste their money in lawsuits to the point that it suddenly becomes an economic disincentive to pursue that money. So if I'm a contractor that's done $2,000 worth of business in one of his hotels or something, it's going to take 50 to 100, depending on location, to take him to small claims court just to file all the appropriate paperwork and whatnot. And the time and effort that requires, that's time and effort that the contractor could have been just doing other contract work. So he purposefully counted on these individuals to go, you know, it's not worth my time and energy to fight you in court. Fine, get this work for free. I'm just going to spread the word never to do business with you. But there are others that are desperate enough to go, yeah, you know, I kind of do need some work right now. I'm going to take that risk. And then, of course, he sometimes screws them and sometimes doesn't. He's very wishy-washy on the whole thing. He's well known for that. And this was back in, like, 2016.
Oh, wow.
You know, headed into the first time he ran for president, this came to light, this information. First world problems. My scroll wheel broke on my primary mouse, so I have a secondary mouse, and I have to just keep venting between the two right now. Very first world problems. Especially right now, given so many people are suffering from SNAP benefit issues.
Yeah.
But the other big news in the last week, aside from SNAP benefits, is that Democrats did really, really well in elections in this off year. So odd numbered years, other elections happen, other proposals happen. California authorized for gerrymandering. The citizenry in a 70% margin for said, yes, we should gerrymander to counter the nonsense that happened in Texas. Wow. Just the citizenry is like, yeah, let's stop playing fair. Let's stop playing by the rules, because if we continue to play by the rules, since there's a cheater doing cheaty things, we're not going to win. And we need to stop this cheater.
What does gerrymander mean?
So gerrymandering is when you rearrange the districts in a state based on party. So both parties do it. It's a thing. It's a very slimy thing, but both parties do it. So whoever controls the state legislature post census gets to rearrange how the districts look based on population, based on the information from the census. But Trump demanded of multiple states, Texas especially, go and gerrymander in this off year so that the maps and districts are beneficial to the Republican Party in 2026. Keep the Republicans in power in the House in 2026. That's the goal. That's slimy. That's more slimy than usual, because there's no good data to rearrange the districts at all. And in fact, there's the high chance both California and Texas could accidentally shoot themselves in the foot, because they could rearrange all this with old data and not get what they're wanting. It's just bad form, in like a bad plan in general, not only bad form, but they're operating on old bad data. Bad data at this point, because it's 5 years out of date. So it would be similar to if you have the city of San Antonio, mm-hmm. which is primarily Democratic in a red state. So they're going to draw the district so that the red district from the areas outlying outside of San Antonio, this is an example, I don't know if this is how they're actually doing it, would cut into San Antonio just enough to scrape some of those blue voters and counter them. And it would basically look like a pie emanating out of San Antonio, whereas San Antonio, given the population size and everything like that, should be its own district, if not two or three, based on population. Whereas, say, the Texas Panhandle, and this is me spitballing numbers, so it may not be factual. These are just imaginary examples. The Texas Panhandle may not be high population, so that geographically might be the whole section of the Texas Panhandle, if you imagine Texas on a map. Meanwhile, the districts in San Antonio, because of the high population center, should be all its own thing. Ideally, the way the framers imagined it is that you would just draw districts based on population. So if it takes 500 miles to get 1,000 people in this area, do it. Meanwhile, if it takes 10 miles to get 1,000 people over here in this other area, do it. And each state is granted X number of representatives, so you divvy the state up in such a way that you get approximately the same amount of individuals per district. gerrymandering throws that all on its head and goes, okay, well, because we are the party in power, I'm not going to say one way or the other, because we are the party in power, and we know there is this Democrat-heavy set of neighborhoods along this particular interstate, we're going to draw this district. So it basically snakes along the interstate, this actually happened, and goes with this particular party. So sure, we're giving them one district, but because we've snaked along and pulled out all of the party of Georges, we can now district all around that with the party of Freds. And now while the George party gets one district guaranteed for sure, the party of Fred, who is has a bunch of districts scattered around the George party district, gets six. That's gerrymandering. Meanwhile, what should have happened is that the Georges and the Freds get separated by geography and population in clumps going down, more evenly distribute, which would make each district more competitive, which would therefore cause the district to flip back and forth party-wise more frequently. And these representatives would be able to not become full-time, long-term politicians. They get kicked out of office every 4 to 6 years, or two to six years. Like, maybe they win their re-election the next time, but then lose it the next time, because the district's actually competitive. California said, with this Prop 50, we have a separate commission that we've state constitutionally established that says, make the districts fair. Prop 50 said, all right, with the dirty games going on, let's change our rules for a limited amount of elections to gerrymander long enough just to counter Texas, to get us out of this Trump era problem. And then we'll go back to doing it fairly again. So that's gerrymandering in a nutshell and why it's so slimy. It's not what the framers intended whatsoever.
Gotcha.
Of course, they didn't even like the idea of a party system, the framers. But we traditionally here in the United States have somehow fallen into a two-party system, just accidentally. Early on, it was the Federalists versus the non-Federalists. Or the Whigs and the... I don't remember. I'd have to relook up some of that early history and political parties. But there have always been two for some reason. In parliamentary systems, you get a lot of different parties, a lot of smaller parties. And then the party that has the most seats in their house, for lack of a better word, to draw parallels, goes and says, okay, we don't have a majority. Hey, you other party that kind of has similar ideals to us, why don't you join with us to form a majority? And there's your parliamentary system. What gets messy is when it's like, okay, we have the majority, and your party is literally Nazis, but we're going to go ahead and offer to partner with you so we can have a majority. And yeah, now there are some problems that happen as a result.
Yeah.
But so parliamentary system also has issues, obviously. The cleanest, best form of government on paper, let me stress that, on paper, is communism. On paper. It's never been successfully done in a real-world situation because people are stupid. People are greedy, they're power-hungry, etc.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Bingo. Socialism, which is often compared to communism, is not. There's subtle differences. I get that. And the reason I'm even bringing it up is because in New York, a socialist Democrat won for mayor.
We brought this up last time.
We did?
Yeah.
Good. Well, people still don't understand the difference, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Communism. Everybody owns everything. Nobody actually owns anything individually. Socialism. The people involved in the process own the process. There isn't a big CEO that owns everything or a big business owner that owns everything, but there's still private property. So if you work for a business, you have a share and stake in that business, and if it does well, you do well. Whereas under the current capitalist style, if you do well, if you work hard, you get a regular paycheck, and the big boss at the top that owns the business and hired you scrapes off more. Because they're not taxed enough to encourage them to pay out more to everybody else. But the election went really, really well. He won. Like last week, we were just talking about the possibility of him winning. This week, it happened.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Other districts, the Democrats just did really, really well. It's still the cost of living. That's the main thing. Everybody that voted for Trump in the hopes that Trump would fix the economy, he made it worse.
Sounds bad, right?
And people are voting accordingly. Latino individuals swung hard in Trump's direction in 2024. They're doing the opposite now after seeing what ICE is doing. Logical.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Trump, meanwhile, rather than being the, you know, traditional political candidate, being graceful, being congratulatory, is like, well, it's not fair. The reason they won is because of this, this, and the other thing. Mail-in ballots, non-voter ID laws, etc. Rather than, oh, they just, the people that ran had a better platform this time around, and the people are fed up with Trump. So it can't possibly be his fault. Because that would require him to actually be the bigger person and acknowledge that he has faults. So it has to be something unfair that happened instead. Mm.
Totally.
So on his Truth Social platform, he's like, pass voter reform, voter ID, no mail-in ballots, save our Supreme Court from packing, no two-state addition, etc. Terminate the filibuster. What? It was just a panicked, poor sport statement. I don't even know what he's talking about the no two-state addition. I just don't... What? But, okay. Terminate the filibuster. That would be bad news, as we discussed last week. for the Republicans big time, assuming there's a blue wave in 2026. So they're not going to be willing to do that. Here, if they do, they're shooting themselves in the foot. The packing of the Supreme Court, he's worried that in 26, well, actually in 28, that because of how hard they've packed the Supreme Court with far-right individuals, the House and Senate might pass legislation to add more seats to the Supreme Court and allow the next president, who is likely going to be a Democrat, the ability to, air quote, pack, to try to counter how far right the Supreme Court has swung recently. So there's that. So he's still worried about that, even though they're the ones that packed it. For instance, everybody seems to forget that the Senate denied Obama his presidential constitutional right to nominate individuals to the Supreme Court when there was a vacancy, and instead held out until Trump was elected the first time. Like, they blocked the process procedurally to give Trump an additional Supreme Court seat. Kind of slimy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm judging.
It's the same thing that they're doing now. They don't want to go back to the negotiating table, even though they should, given its, you know, their continuing resolution is about to be moot as it is. So they really need to get back in and start debating and talking again, because even their continuing resolution is basically useless at this point. That was going to punt the government to November 21st, after all. So now we're November 9th. They've punted. They should be talking about plans of either punting again or actually passing a budget at this point. Now. They should be in session and they should be talking, and they're not. That's a problem. So there's the sour grapes, bitterness. Greetings to chat, Amoebob. But, and to just palate cleanse, do you have anything else political?
Well, I saw something, I don't know if this is real or not, but okay. I saw something talking about making gay marriage illegal.
That's on the prospective chopping block for the Supreme Court. They already have authorized the Trump administration to modify passports for trans individuals. It's a potentiality. It's not a sure thing, but it's a potentiality, because the same legal doctrine that established Roe v. Wade is what established gay marriage. So by knocking over the Roe v. Wade domino, We'll do the hand motion at the same time. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the facepalm there, buddy. Oh, and I've offended the thunder on off camera as well. But because of the legal doctrine that established Roe v. Wade, they built from there to offer or to legalize gay marriage. So it is very possible that it could fall. It hasn't yet. There may be court cases pending, but it hasn't fallen yet. And that's going to open up a whole can of worms of, okay, what about the people that already are? So, yeah. Who knows what's going to happen. It's something to keep an eye out on, but it's not something to lose sleep over quite yet. Palate cleansing. All right. Take a breath. Politics are gross. There's a lot of gross stuff going on right now. The world is gross. But here's something funny. The Louvre break-in password. The security password for their video surveillance system was Louvre. That's just as bad as setting a password as password. The fact that you're speechless and just shaking your head, I love it. They have caught more suspects, is my understanding, but they have not recovered what was stolen yet. But don't set your passwords, folks. Like, if you have a Facebook account, don't set your password to Facebook. I mean, yes, you'll have your unique email or a phone number, but don't then just set it as Facebook. No. Just no. It's the Spaceballs luggage situation all over again.
Man.
For the air shield. But I'm looking forward to Spaceballs too. But with that, and the poor Louvre individuals, like, I've also read some comments of, oh yeah, well, we kind of do that at our store too, and it's Walmart, and a lot of these stores, their passcode for some of the door locks is just their store number. Yeah. I mean, it's probably keying into the break room or something, so not, you know, a super secure location.
Yeah.
But still, no. Please, no. It's just password logic. And it hurts. It hurts that they're doing that. But I'm going to go process this file, if you don't have anything else.
Not really. I'm just baffled by the fact the security password was Louvre.
Yeah.
I
mean, good luck spelling it if you're non-native French speaker, but still.
Yeah. It's like, they wouldn't assume it's the most obvious thing.
I guess not.
But also, like, if it's the most obvious thing and they guess correctly, they're just gonna facepalm and be like, come on.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So with that, if you have questions or comments, want to add to the show, podcast@flameflash.net. Also, feel free to leave a comment on the blog or join us in chat. Hi, I'm Ebop. Appreciate you stopping by. We try to record every week. We just recently started doing it live rather than just recording and then me processing the file and uploading it. But we are on all of the things like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, etc. And feel free to comment on YouTube or the email, podcast@flameflash.net. Flameflash.net, obviously, is where these also post. And then we have the RSS feed blog WordPress as well. So with that, I think we can roll and put episode 218 under wraps.
Live with honor.
And remember, autonomy and freedom is the right of all sentient beings. Take care.